We continue our learning Leilu Nishmas Tavi Ben Menachem Rosh Hashanah Yaakov Mipchas Eliyahu. We're in Beitz of Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalet. As we mentioned in when we learned the previous Mishnah, this Mishnah is going to discuss a case where a person designated the birds before Yom Tov, but on Yom Tov he now has a suffolk, which of the birds that he designated. Potentially, he may be taking birds that are muktzah. So what do you do? Says the Mishnah, Zimein Shchorim Matzah Levanim. Let's say in the nest, in the dovecote before Yom Tov, he designated blackbirds, umatzah levanim, and the same cane in the same nest, same dovecote, he finds white ones the next day on Yom Tov morning when he wants to shecht. Or levanim umatzah shchorim, or he designated white ones, and he ends up finding black ones in their place when he comes Yom Tov morning. Shnayim umatzah shlosha, he designated two, and he ends up finding three. Says, so one of them is extra, that's considered a muktzah. Says the Mishnah, Asurim. In all these cases, they are Asur. Now, the Gemara says that, you know, if you designate black and you find white, or the reverse, it's obvious to us that they're Asur. I don't need Mishnah to teach me that. The case here is where a person designated birds in two nests, in two dovecotes. In one, they were black, and one, they were white. So he knows he has designated white birds and designated black birds to shecht on Yom Tov. But he comes the next day on Yom Tov morning, he finds that the blackbirds are in the place of the white birds, and the white birds are in the place of the blackbirds. And the question is, can we assume that they just switch places? And these are the same birds he designated before Yom Tov, or not? So they just switch from where they were. So the Mishnah here is teaching us, no, they're Asur. We cannot assume they switch places. We assume that they flew away, the ones he designated, and these are new ones, and that's why he doesn't find the birds in the right place. Then the Mishnah says, "Besoch hakein umata lifnei hakein." Let's say, skip one. A shlosh umata shnayim. Let's say you designated three, but you found two. Then the Mishnah says, "Mutarim." We can use them on Yom Tov. We assume one flew away, but the two birds that are there are the ones he designated before Yom Tov. Now, there's interesting why we wouldn't apply. Think of the reverse case in the ratio of the Mishnah where it said if you designated two and you end up finding three, they're all Asur. Why won't I say that they're Batel Barov? It's nullified in the majority. I had two of the birds that are here are from before Yom Tov. I have an extra bird that flew in. Okay, so let's say that I'd use all of them. It's Batel Barov. So a couple of answers is, number one, Balei Chayim Chashuvim. We assume that live animals are considered Chashuv, and therefore they're not nullified in a majority. And number two, Muktzah is a classic example of what we call a Davar Sheish L'matirin. It's something that will be permitted at a later date. Wait till after Yom Tov, and they'll all be Mutter for you. Why should you rely on Bittul if you don't need to? So that's another possibility. We don't rely on Bittul by a Davar Sheish L'matirin. Then the Mishnah says, Besoch HaKein U'matzah Lifnei HaKein Asurim. You designated them in the nest, in the dovecote, and you come Yom Tov before Yom Tov. You come Yom Tov morning, and the nest is empty. But right in front on the ledge, you see birds. We say they're us. Why? Maybe they just, you know, took a step out to get some fresh air. And those are the same ones. So the answer is no. They're not in the place where you designated them. We assume that the ones you designated flew away. And these are new ones. The main Shom Elohim. But in the whole area, those are the only birds that we have. Harelu Mutarim. They're the ones that you've designated in the nest, that you find in front of the nest. That's okay. We assume those are the ones you designated before Yom Tov. Now, the Gemara explains this a little bit and says we're dealing with young birds that don't know how to fly yet. They only hop. And not only that, if let's say there's no other shovach, no other dovecote within 50 amos, so then there's no question that it's okay, because I certainly can have the gozlos, the birds that are found in front of the cane. Because the general, when it comes to, if you can fly, that's one thing. But hopping, we don't assume that a bird is going to be able to hop at this more than 50 amos. The chiddush of the Mishnah here is that let's say there is a shovach within 50 amos, where potentially you could say, oh, it could have hopped from the other place. Maybe this is not the bird I designated. That other shovach from that other place, that popped over here and fell in over here. So says the Gemara says that this is the difference. Yes, true, there is a shovach within 50 amos. Yes, you may think that this bird that you found here could have hopped from the other shovach because it's less than 50 amos and they can hop less than 50 amos. Nonetheless, the other shovach is around the corner. It's maybe only 20 amos away, but it's around the corner. And the chiddush of the Mishnah here is that that's okay. What does it mean it's okay? You're allowed to have the bird that you designated inside, and now you find it outside. You can assume that that is the same bird. Maybe it hopped. Talking about young birds that can't fly, maybe it hopped from the other shovach. The answer is it doesn't hop. Why? Because if you have to turn the corner and you can't see your home, so you're not going to go that far. And that's why we can assume hareilu mutarim. If these are the only ones who are here, meaning even if it's less than 50 amos, they are mutter because we assume the birds from the other shovach were never hopped over to this shovach. So your bird is where it is. Perek Aleph Mishnah Hey, Beishamai Omrin Ein Misalkenes HaTrisim B'Yom Tov U'Beishilil Matirin Af Lahachsin. And we hear the word trisim, the first thing that usually comes to mind are those shutters that they have in Israel. So that's not exactly what we're talking about. You may if you want to translate it as a shutter, that's okay. But we're really talking about the following. Imagine a chest, and you have inside that chest, someone is planning to sell their spices or whatever it may be. They put it inside the box, a wooden box, and there is a cover to that box. That's maybe it's screwed on. There's a hinge. You can open up the doors, let's say, of a small chest. You open up the doors. And then what would happen was the people who would sell their wares, they would take off the doors or the door, the cover, the side, that piece of wood, and put that on the ground. And then sit on the street and put all of their spices, whatever they're selling, on top of that. And then when the day was over, they put the spices back in the box and they put the cover back on, and that would be the end. So the Mishnah here is discussing the problem here of boneh, although there's a concept of ein binyan bekelim, there's no boneh regarding vessels that maybe lower it down to an issur derabbanan, but still there's a problem. But there is a simchas yom tov element as well. And the Mishnah is discussing the following. So again, these trees, some of these doors that you close up these chests or these closets, let's say, that people have. And Beis Shammai says, you're not allowed to remove them on Yom Tov at all. What's the problem? So it looks like what we call soser. It looks like destruction. When I take this piece off, so that looks like soser. It's soser derabbanan, but nonetheless, Beis Shammai says it's not allowed. And the fact that this person may not be able to sell, you're not going to sell for money, but on Yom Tov, these food the establishments were open for people to come. You need to buy an animal, you need spices, they would be open, you pay after Yom Tov. So this person cannot take the tris off, the door off, because even for Simchas Yom Tov, because it looks like Soser destroying. Oh, Beisil Matirin. Beisil allows it, not only that, Af Lahachzir, meaning goes at it, there's no discussion about, you don't need to tell me you'll have to remove it in order to take out all the food, the spices that you need for the purposes of Yom Tov, but even to return them back, you're allowed. Why? Because if you're not allowed to return them, you're not allowed to put the cover back on, you can't put the doors back on. So now, because people may steal, you're going to say, no, and I'm not selling anything. I'm not providing any spices or food for people on Yom Tov because they're not letting me put it back. So therefore, Beis Hillel, and we have other cases like that, where Chazal say, will allow you to return it so that you don't refrain from providing for everybody lechatchila. So the Gemara then says, though, that the case of the Mishnah is under the following circumstance. And that is, if we're talking about a trees in these shutters, these doors that have a hinge on the side. So even Beis Hillel would not allow you to return them because that looks like building. That would not allow. Since you're not allowed to return them, so then you're not allowed to remove them because you know that person is not going to take the remove the tris, this door, unless we permit him to return it. Okay, let's say the trisim don't have a bolt, a hinge on the side, but rather they don't have one at all. Just a piece of wood, you put it back on and that's it. So then Beis Shammai said, that's okay. You can even return it, you can remove it and return it, because that's not building at all. You know where the machlokas is here? When we have trisim, where they have the hinge in the middle, meaning there's a little bolt on the bottom and a little bolt on the top of the door. One sticks into the top of the box, one sticks into the bottom of the box. That is not, doesn't look as much as building as when it's on the side. And that's the machlokas, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, where Beis Shammai says, you're not allowed to use the trisim where the tzir is there in the middle, where it's sticking up and below, because I'm afraid you may end up using it and removing it for cases where it's on the side and that's real boneh. Beis Hillel says, we don't make such a gzera, and therefore you can take it off and even return it so you don't refrain from simchas yontif. Next, machlokas. Beis Shammai omrim ein notel nesa eli. Alakatze v'lov basar. This is a log, not that big, used as a pestle to grind spices. And here I'm not using it to grind spices. Grinding spices on Yom Tov is potentially a problem. We'll discuss grinding a little bit. But I'm using it very differently. I'm cutting a piece of meat on the log. So I'm using it I'm allowed to cut a piece of meat on Yom Tov, but I am using a kli, that's what we call a kli shemalachto le'isser. It's a kli, and therefore that has a certain status of muktza. So Beis Shammai says, you're not allowed to. Uveis hilomatirin. You'll say it's a kli shemalachto le'isser, but the rule is, and we follow Beis Hillel, a kli shemalachto le'isser is mutter to move litzorech gufo. Also Litzorach Makomo. But here I'm using Litzorach Gufo. So that's, we always give the example we had in Masechah Shabbos to use a hammer. Hammer is a klishim lachto lisser. But I'm not going to use it to bang a nail into the wall. I'm going to use it to crack open a nut. So that's allowed. Same thing here. This eli, this log, although it's used as a pestle and that's a malacha, it's a klishim lachto lisser, I'm using it to cut a piece of meat on it. So that is allowed. Beis Shammai omrim, next machlokas, ein nos nemesa or lifnei hadarasan. You have an animal that was shechted and you flayed its hide. You're not allowed to put the hide, although you would want to. People trampling on the hide prepares it. But the problem is that looks like it prepares it for ibud, what we call for tanning the hide. So that's the beginning of the tanning process. So therefore, you're not allowed to put the ore in lifnei hadarasan in front of people who are going to trample on it. Velo, why? Because it looks like you're beginning the tanning process. Velo yagbihenu, nor are you allowed to move it, literally lift it up after the animal has been flayed, because it's muktza. Elim kain. So we're talking about the hide of the animal. So you want to put it in front of people to trample? Can't do that. You want to pick it up? No, it's muktza. Elim kain yesh imo kizayis basar. Unless there's still a kazayas, at least a kazayas with meat attached to the hide, then it's okay because it has the status of food. The hide will be tafel secondary to the basar that's on it. Uvizil matirin, he says, even without a kazayas basar, you're allowed to spread it out where people are going to trample on it. Why? Because if we don't allow him to do that, he's going to say, you know what, if my hide is not going to be tanned properly, because I have to wait till after yontif to deal with it, so then I'm not shechting an animal at all. So, well, we're afraid he's going to then refrain from simchas yom tov. So he allows it even without a gezayis basar. And finally, uveis shammai omrim ein motzien es loes hakatan veloes halulav veloes sefer torah l'rishus harabim. You're not allowed to carry. There's no eruv. You're not allowed to carry a child or a lulav or a sefer torah l'rishus harabim. Why? Because the only thing you're allowed to carry is food. Malachos that are for ochel nefesh. I want to carry food. I want to cook food. I want to ignite a fire from an existing flame for the purposes of food, of baking or cooking. Those, I want to shecht. Those malachos are allowed. But to do the malacha for a non-food purpose, Beis Shammai says, is not allowed. So you can't carry a child. Why am I carrying a child? Some Rishonim say for a bris milah. Tosus and others say no, even just to go for a walk for recreation purposes, for teal. But either way, Beis Shammai does not allow it because it's not for ochel nefesh. Beis Hillel matirin. Beis Hillel says it's allowed. Why, according to Beis Hillel, are you allowed to take a child for a walk, even though there's no eruv pick up a lulav, pick up a sefer Torah, bring a machzor to shul. Why is that allowed? Based on the famous concept of mitoch. Mitoch, shehutra, hotza l'tzorech ochel nefesh. Since once the Torah permits the malacha of hotza, or havara, for example, or any other malacha, for ochel nefesh purposes, for food purposes, the Torah really is permitting that malacha for any Yom Tov purpose, as long as there's a Yom Tov need. That's the simple understanding of Beis Hillel's opinion, what we call for short, mitoch. As long as there's a need, yes, going to, for a walk with a child, recreation is a need. A lulav and a sefer Torah is a need, and therefore you're allowed to carry them on Yom Tov, according to Beis Hillel.